everybody. Welcome back to the Narrator Roundtable. I'm Gail Schellen, and I'm here today with Lindsay Dorcas. How you doing, Lindsay?
Hello, I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, me too. Kurt, how are you?
I'm excited to be spending time with you guys.
Likewise, very much so. Andre, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, thank you. Excited to be here.
Awesome. Yay. Okay, I'm so excited to get started here. So let's talk about in-person networking and human-to-human connection. It's maybe not the most comfortable thing for most of us. We are the bookish, stay-at-home, work-alone-in-our-PJs type of actors. But people always say audiobook people are the nicest people. Everyone is so friendly. Just be authentic. Just be yourself. Well, when I think about the word authentic, it kind of feels like an overused buzzword, and just be yourself is a less than helpful piece of advice for most of us. What parts of myself should I share? How much of me should I be? What does showing up authentically as my whole human self with colleagues or clients or collaborators even mean? And where's that line between business and pleasure, colleagues and friends? And what if everyone's not as friendly and welcoming as they say? So today I have asked a great friend of mine to join us. We first met when a mutual friend recommended that she contact me about audiobook narration, and we began a mentor-mentee relationship that has since transformed into a deep friendship. Our guest has come onto the narration scene with a bang, truly turning out exceptional work for major publishers across many genres, and she's also one of the warmest, most generous, and hilarious people working in the industry. A dog lover, martial artist, rock climbing, Boston cream donut lover, and self-proclaimed terrible knitter, before finding narration, she held various roles in corporate America, including event planning, recruiting, and corporate social responsibility. She enters this conversation with a heck of a lot of perspective, earned wisdom, and her great sense of humor. I am so excited to welcome Dom Salvation on today to talk about navigating authenticity in a professional setting. Hey, Dom, how are you?
Hi. I'm great. Thank you for those really kind words.
You're so welcome. I mean every single one of them. Yeah, thanks for coming on to talk to us about this. So I think the first thing about showing up authentically is probably showing up at all. And I was wondering if we could spend a little bit of time discussing why we all show up in person at events. Like, what are the benefits that we have seen or maybe not seen that we expected by meeting in real life? And what were some of our concerns or worries around going to maybe our first few industry events or the things that keep us coming back or stop us from going to certain things? How do you all feel about that?
I mean, I can start with my biggest fear. So I've only actually been to about, I've only been to 7 in-person events since I started my narration journey. And I would say my first couple, my biggest fear was being like going into the high school cafeteria day one of freshman year and not having anybody to sit with. And just feeling like a little bit of an outsider. Are people going to be welcoming? Do I belong here yet? I haven't recorded anything yet. So a lot of imposter syndrome was happening in my head. Yeah. But from my corporate background and from my nonprofit background, I already knew that in-person events were really impactful for other industries. So I'm like, I got to get my butt out there. So I forced myself to go.
I think, like, I know you as a very, like, natural person in a social environment that you lean towards that, you open up towards that. Like you are, I think of you as a people person. And it's helpful to hear that even for you, there's a lot of anxiety around the social dynamics. Lindsay, I know we met at our mutual first APAC, which we've mentioned many times on the show. But like for me, and I think Kurt, that was yours as well, right?
Yeah.
So that's where the two of you connected. So it's like, just have finding one person where you're like, oh yeah, I can connect with them as a human. Like that was a big turning point for me. How did you feel about stuff when you first started and how do you feel about it now?
Well, it's tricky because like, I'm so grateful that my first APAC was 2019 pre-pandemic. Cause I think that was definitely a different vibe. And also it was a much smaller event. I mean, it wasn't tiny, but we were in the Javits Center. I think there was something like 700 people total or something like that.
Yeah.
And I don't quote me on any numbers. But I know that like hearing about the next APAC that happened after the pandemic began was like a huge number of people. I remember that like the difference to me was stark. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so many people. And so like, yeah, it was a little bit of a different vibe. I remember in 2019 though, I had the same feelings Dom had. I was so scared and so nervous. And I was like, I don't know anybody. And this is going to be so weird. And I met Gail and Kurt and like what magic, but also like I felt really great. The thing that was a pleasant surprise was that like, I think going into events like that, my tendency is to be like, I need to plan for this. I need to plan for that. I need to, which things am I going to? What's my schedule? Whatever. I found when I got there, so much of that just went out the window because like I met a cool person. We started chatting and then they were like, I'm going to this thing. Do you want to come? And I was like, sure. Or like some other thing would happen or like whatever. Like I ended up at like a podium party like after one night because somebody was like, we're going to a podium party. And I was like, do you want to come? And I was like, okay. So like there's so much that just happens in the moment and you have to, which is scary because you're like, I don't know what's going to happen. Am I going to get to go to a cool party or am I get to meet a cool person or will it be like weird and bad? But you just have to like go and be like, let's hope it's like, let's just follow where the wind takes us and like see how it goes. Yeah. I will add while I'm thinking about it now is that part of now trying to reclaim that 2019 magic for me personally is I've been looking at events that are a little bit smaller. I have not been to APAC since and have not felt so tempted just because I personally don't function well in that big of a group. It feels intimidating to me. Other people might thrive there. So like, God bless. But I've been very mindful about like, what are sort of the more niche events? What are the smaller events where like, I don't feel so overwhelmed and I can really connect with people there?
I would say, since we're talking about fears, one of the things that really, it didn't prevent me from going to any industry events, but it certainly was something that I thought a lot about when I started going to reader conferences and also APAC, is just one of the great things about this job that we've talked about is that you can play lots of different kinds of people. Unlike other acting gigs, your look doesn't really matter. And yet it is a part of the human condition to make judgments about somebody based on the way they look. And so if you are somebody like me who did like a lot of romance and then you show up to a convention and you are not the typical body size or shape of a romantic hero, or you are not the age that your voice represents to other people, or you're going to APAC and you'd like to be doing YA, but they can see that you started graying at the age of 24 because thank you, genes. You know, that showing up in person and being seen can feel like, uh-oh, it might suddenly be an obstacle in this field of work specifically. And so I know I had a lot of anxiety about just going and being seen, the whole of me, you know, versus the little bit that I can curate and put forward in a headshot or you know, even how we frame things in a podcast, you know? So just, there was just some like physical discomfort about walking into that space for the first time.
Absolutely. And I think the physical discomfort of our bodies in space and connecting with other bodies. And then like also given the health and safety concerns with, I think we've become more aware of post-pandemic, but that are always around for voice actors, you know, deciding to take that risk of gathering in a large group together. Like there's a lot to be afraid of. And I'm just curious, I guess, of is the social dynamic, does that add something to the fears, or has there been moments where it's soothed that and eased that for you? Have you felt welcome walking into spaces with other narrators? And I think particularly as a newer narrator, have you felt welcome in social narration spaces?
Honestly, I feel like I had a very magical entry point into the narration space. And I think that was in part because Gail was my entry point into the narration space. And I had a mentor for that first year who really guided me in terms of places to go, but also gave me some soft introductions to other narrators as well and brought me to the table. And then those people brought me to the table. And so I had a really, I didn't actually feel unwelcome at any point in time during my entry point. So when I started, but I did hear from other newer narrators who did have those experiences, and I found it very surreal because I was like, wait, but everybody's so nice.
Right.
Wait, I don't understand. And I mean, I've actually changed my mind since the beginning, but.
This is a podcast to spill the tea. Let's go.
Yeah. I don't think that anymore. But it was really kind of interesting for me to have a very warm, welcome, magical entry point, and then to hear about other people's experiences coming in and some of the coldness they said they experienced or gatekeeping that they said that they experienced. And that, and I was like, really? Where is that happening?
It's so interesting to me because the first times I showed up at events in person was right after, I want to say, 2022 to 23, in that window when, yes, like, you know, the industry is blowing up, all these new people are showing up, but it also felt like things hadn't shifted yet. Like, I do feel like there are plenty of narrators who feel like, oh, suddenly, like, titles are not in my schedule in the way that they used to be, right, before kind of the industry upended itself during the pandemic. And I think, like, the reality of that, and I think we've touched on that in different conversations here too, is that, like, yeah, like that can result in, you know, not everyone's necessarily going to be excited when new people come into the space if they feel a sense of defensiveness. If they never attended events in the first place and suddenly they find themselves having to show up to events and compete with people who, you know, don't have the same kind of like feet in the industry, like I think that absolutely results in that kind of, you know, coldness or jadedness, or it means that not everyone gets the stellar welcome. So I think, Dom, like I feel like I'm in a similar place where I think I showed up, I think I was connected with people in the industry in a certain way right at the beginning that, like, when I showed up, it was much more of a warm welcome. And yet I also recognize and see happen those moments where, you know, not everyone feels like they should be expected to lay out the red carpet for someone that they see as a competitor.
Yeah. I think that also speaks to the importance of, whether in person at events or in other ways you're connecting with people, to like finding your cohort first and foremost. I mean, that's not to say other things can't too, but, you know, because that, again, the two of the most impactful people I met in 2019 were Kurt and Gail, who were also there for the first time. So we were all sort of like on a very similar playing field of like, we just got here and we're trying to figure it out. And like, we've done some books, but, you know, I mean, I think Kurt had probably done the most at that point, but like, we were all like entering into this world for the first time. And so like, there was no threat there because we're all like clueless newbies trying to figure it out. Like, I wasn't like, Gail's coming from a gig. Neither of us had a gig. We were just, there was no gig to come for. So we were able to connect on that and then sort of grow together. So I think, in addition to, like, obviously, you know, connecting with people who have been in the industry for much longer, connecting with publishers, connecting with people, the, you know, the doyens of the industry or whoever, also, like, find your cohort, find your level people, because then all your little boats can rise together. Mm-hmm.
That, I love that so much, that, you know, looking for, we use this phrase gatekeeping, you know, that implies that somebody has the keys that you need to enter a certain door. And I like sort of flipping this metaphor to, we're navigating the sea together. Let's all get in the same ship, or let's sort of rise the tides for all our ships together. Instead of looking upwards with pleading hands, it's looking around you and seeing how we can build together. I am curious, you know, now we all have, and Dom, I know you might hesitate to include yourself in this, but I really do. We all have a leg up in our experience in this industry at this point. There are, and I know people are coming to all of us about this. You know, when somebody does come and say, hey, do you have the keys? Because I can't get in the gate. What does that feel like? And how, when, at what times does it feel okay to say, yes, I'd love to help you through here? Or actually, I don't have the keys, but here, you know, is, I don't know, I can't extend this metaphor, like a shovel to dig your own door. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying here? Like, yeah, when somebody says, it seems like you might have some answers and I'd really like them, can I buy you a cup of coffee for your wisdom? Or, you know, what questions feel okay? What questions don't feel okay? When does it feel like, yes, I do want to help this person? When do I not? Maybe it's not as clear as a rule across the board, but I'm just curious how you all feel about that.
I'm almost always willing to have a conversation. A conversation, one. you know,
yes.
Which is mostly my time to try to talk them out of it. Because I do feel that this is one of those professions that, like, if you can imagine doing something else and enjoying it as much as this, you should probably go do that other thing.
Gosh, you're just all my acting teachers in school.
Well, but I mean, it is similar, is it not? Like, you know,
no,
you
I
have
know,
to know
I
that
know.
You're signing up for a lot of rejection and a lot, like, and a big part of that conversation would be like, I understand as a newcomer to the industry, you have a lot of questions about how things work and how to get work and who are the most important people to know. And I have to tell you that I'm 10 years in and I have all the same fucking questions. There is never a point at which you know how to get work. It is going to be a slog from now until the day you decide to stop doing it. And you will try new things and you will fail again and again, and you will audition for things that you believe in your heart of hearts are meant for you, and you will not get them. And that heartbreak is going to be a part of this industry. And in between are going to be a lot of projects that are wonderful in their own right, but they don't sing for you in the same way. And those days are going to feel like a slog. And there's going to be sometimes long periods where you just get the same shit over and over and over again. And all of the fun that you used to have being a reader of books and a performer, you're suddenly going to be isolated in a box, reading out loud the same shit day after day after day. And so if all of that sounds good to you, you should probably be an audiobook narrator.
Okay. And now none of you need to ask Kurt for a cup of coffee.
There it is.
How you doing over there,
just
Kurt?
You got it.
It's not.
Tomorrow. I think I'm done.
But the thing is, like, everybody who has ever come to me with that sort of question starts with, that must be so much fun. You know what? I also had days of great fun when I was working as a secretary in a school district.
Yes. Or
when I was working at the front desk of a mental health clinic. Like, some days were very fun and fulfilling, and I had a great time. And a lot of other days, it felt like doing a job. And so if you're okay living for the days where the work really speaks to you and is satisfying, and knowing that those days may be few and far between, and as we've talked about in this podcast before, sometimes you're going to have to seek work elsewhere to continue to do this work as often as it comes to you. If you're okay with all of that and you still think, yeah, I can't imagine doing anything else, this is really it for me, I love this, yeah, then stay. Please stay. Because you're the type of person who should be doing this work.
No.
But if you think it's going to be easy and fun, and it's all just reading books that you really enjoy and getting paid for it, that's not what this is.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a thought about this. And in fact, I think I can take, Gail, your keys to the,
yes,
to the door,
please,
thing.
Yes, carry it.
I think I can run with it. But first, I want to ask, because Dom, I saw the face you made when you said, you know, I'll buy you a cup of coffee if you talk to me about this. And I'm just so curious what this has been for you.
You know, it's actually more about watching other people offer it to eat more. I have not really experienced that per se. I have had the asks and the requests for conversations and requests for information. And my perspective on that has shifted, which I'll talk about later. But I find it, for me personally, I would not imagine asking someone whom I do not know well already to provide me with free advice. When there are coaches in this industry who exist who make part of their income doing that, when there is free information online to start off with, I do ask for free advice now because I've got great friends, and sometimes I'll send a text and be like, what the hell do I do right now? But that's different, right? So when I entered this industry, I never offered a cup of coffee. I entered this industry 2 years ago. Never once did I offer a cup of coffee for advice or information. And that's just my own personal standard.
Yeah, real. It also, there was such a weird moment with the pandemic when I came in, where it was just like, at any hour of the day, you're going to find 10 professionals on Clubhouse who are stumbling over themselves to give away secrets for free. Suddenly, you know, because the ACX Narrators Facebook group blew from 3,000 people to 10,000 people in the course of like 6 months, like everybody, you know, now you've got top contributors who are like tripping over themselves to answer questions or comments or things. And it almost, I think there's a world out beyond us. A world I have no interest in being part of, with like suits and networking and all these different things where it's like, you know, it's all about the hustle. Like you're going to find your mentor, you know, they're going to teach you how to do stocks and you're going to like come together, you know, downtown and you're going to figure it out. And like, it's all about like getting the right dude a cup of coffee, like catching him in the elevator and da da da. But we are, like you said, in a space that has an educational structure, you know. And I think the more you're in it, the more it's visible. I don't think it's always visible because like when I started, I didn't even know there were audiobook coaches. But I think the more you're in it, the clearer it becomes like what asks are actually like you're trying to hire that person that you're asking them for, you know, in the same way that you wouldn't walk into a business and be like, hey, I'm trying to start a business. Could I just have like an industrial oven? Could you just like hook me up with an industrial oven? You know, and that's our equivalent of like, I go to someone and I'm like, hey, I've never worked with this company. Like, can you tell me all about like getting in work with this company? The thing I was thinking about with keys, actually, before I even say that, Karen Commons changes my life. Because yes. if there's something on Narrator Roadmap.com, if you have already looked on Narrator Roadmap.com and have further questions, we may have something to talk about. If you haven't even looked through that resource yet or you're not aware of it, it will be a wasted hour with me because I don't want to just repeat that information to you. So I have, because people kept asking both from my personal life, from the audiobook space, I ended up just putting like a coaching hour thing on my website because I felt like that was the middle ground. If we were going to get to a place where I was just going to tell you things that were available for free online, I didn't want you to pay me for that time. Here's just the link and you can go check it out. Because often people don't take steps beyond that. People don't, you know, try the reading out loud for an hour thing. People are not interested. They're like, oh, how do I do this? And then suddenly here's 90% of the information and they don't want to look. And if it's something that I can tell you in passing, I'm happy to tell you in passing. But if what you want me to do is sit you down and like do a strategy, you're asking me to coach you at that point. And so here's the thing. Gail, I feel like audiobooks is a neighborhood. Different parts of the neighborhood reflect different things, different genres, different companies, different like, you know, publicity levels of books or how often people are narrating and not narrating. And you've found your space and maybe you live in the neighborhood or maybe you're walking through. I, as someone who lives in the neighborhood, I have dreams about like which house I want to live in and what features I want in that house, meaning like I want to do this big book or I want to work with that company. And I don't know, maybe this is a neighborhood full of just realtors all selling houses to each other, which is to say that like I might move into a house for 3 days, but once I finish recording that book, I have to move into another house. And so I've got to continue to find my way around the neighborhood. And so whatever that looks like as a social dynamic continues to exist. And I think what the balance of respect for me is when it comes to this keys idea is someone saying to me, hey, like there's this house on the block next to you. I want to break into that house and like steal their jewelry. Can you tell me like how I'm going to get the keys to that house and steal their jewelry? And I'm kind of like, high key, like I'm trying to move into that house, or like, you didn't even say hello first, like buy a guy a drink. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
But if you're like, hey, I'm interested in moving into the neighborhood. I'm not familiar with the neighborhood. Can we take a walk around the neighborhood and like just hear a little bit about like how you feel about it? I'm like, let's do it. Like, I love great neighbors. Like, let's do it. Let's collab. And honestly, that feels like it works for me as a vision. Because sometimes you're gonna have roommates. You're co-narrating. Sometimes the house next door to me, I can't live in it, but Lindsay can. And I want to make sure that Lindsay gets that house. But it does feel like it. What's hard when someone knows nothing and wants suddenly access to this information is that the things that feel most respectful about those asks seem to require inside information.
Can we staying with this metaphor of community and how we learn our community, how we learn each other? Can we talk about the less direct ways in which we find ourselves in relationships that can feel warmer, almost like friendship, with narrators who we may see at some point as competition, with narrators who we may idolize, who may be looking up to us, and also with clients and community outside of narrators who work in audiobooks, whether that's engineers, directors, producers, authors? What are some of the, if you're willing to share, like some memorable interactions, both in ways that you're like, yeah, that really kind of worked, or that really I should never do again, or that person should not have done that, that stick with you in terms of those types of conversations?
I have heard stories. This has not happened to me, which it's funny because sometimes I'm like, is that because people think like they can't approach me with this stuff? But also I'm glad they haven't.
It's strange how I seem unapproachable to some people. Don't approach me. I wonder what it is.
I don't know. It's a mystery. Not that bad. But I've heard from a couple people who, because often you get these larger auditions on platforms like Ahab, where like they might have an open audition and you get 100 or more people auditioning for that same thing. And I know I and a lot of other people, like when I audition for something, whether it's a big open call or it's a smaller call, you know, a month or so later, I'm like, who got that? You know, partially because I'm just a curious person, but also partially like that might be useful information to be like, oh, what are the things that are like getting the other people this job over me? And also sometimes it soothes my ego when it's like, oh, that person has a very different voice and style and tone from me. So like they were looking for apples instead of oranges, and like, I'm an orange. So cool. I wasn't going to get it anyways. But I've heard from a few people, especially on like those big Ahab auditions where they'll get one of those jobs and then they will get like private messages from people they don't know very well being like, hey, I saw that you got that job. Like, I auditioned for it too. And, you know, or like, congratulations, but also like, just so you know, like, which.
Or why did they pick you and not me?
That sort of thing. Even when, like, there's something even like a little not great feeling about, like, if it's your friend, if it's somebody you know, even an acquaintancy friend, even somebody you've connected with, I totally get being like, oh my gosh, congratulations on a job. But when it's somebody you don't know very well or at all, or it's somebody who also includes the fact that they auditioned too, like, oh, that feels weird. And I feel like doing that impedes the potential relationship you could have, because a lot of my dearest friends in this industry are also my direct competitors, I say making air quotes, because like Gail is one of them, you know, people who we are often up for the same jobs, and like, you know, sometimes one of us gets it, sometimes the other, sometimes a third. Like, I do have a small roster of people who, like, clearly some producers are like, these ladies are all in this category, and we're gonna like put them all up for these books together. But the thing is, because we are very similar, we also make great friends for each other.
Yes.
And,
have a lot of insight well off for each other because we're like occupying a similar niche. So like, while I might have the occasional feeling of like, oh, damn it, I wanted that book and I didn't get that book and like this other person did. And, you know, a moment of like, oh, you know, old man yelling at cloud about it. Ultimately, like those relationships and keeping those relationships really like healthy and like mutual and good is like so much more valuable than any satisfaction I would get out of being like, well, fuck you, or out of being in any way petty about the other person getting it. And, you know, at the very least, if you listen, we're all human. If you have a petty moment, and I am known to have them, like that's the time you reach out to another person,
right,
that you know, another friend, maybe somebody not even in the audiobook industry, but maybe an industry friend, not the person who got the job, but maybe another person, to be like, I really wanted this gig and I didn't get it and I am having a bad day about it. Like, yeah, which is valid and real and like is something that you should be able to express, but never to the person who got the job. Leave them alone about it. Unless you already know them and you were just sending them a nice congratulations.
I am of two minds. I'm interested to see what you guys think about this, because I have had the really lovely experience of being at an industry event and having someone come up to me and be like, oh, I just listened to this book. I really loved what you did with it. Because there is a part of me that is like, that is so sweet. Thank you so much. And then there's another part of me that wants to shrivel and die because someone's talking to me about my work in a work environment. And like, we're all here. And like, am I then supposed to say like, oh, what have you listened? Have I listened to any of your stuff? And it's like, I'm sorry if I haven't. And I can't also say something nice back because just circumstantially, I haven't also read your stuff. And so I've been very careful about like when I do meet some of my heroes, with the one exception of the time I did like nearly physically assault Michael Crouch when I met him. But like that was awkward enough for me after the fact to be like, wow, I really just kind of like word vomited all over this very nice man who tolerated me wonderfully. To like not start with the work. Even if you know them and you know their work and you're fond of the way they do things, or you really loved a project they did, don't start there, because if you're like me, and again, I'm interested to hear what you guys think, like there's two reactions to that, which is like, oh, and also.
Yes. And I would also take that into personal territory too. Like the stuff that we share in public places about ourselves personally, if it's on this podcast, if it's on our social media, on our website, there's a tactful way to approach, like, we have this in common, or I'm curious about this thing you said about yourself, and just being sensitive that, like, as I hear what you're saying, Kurt, our creativity, our art making is like a tender and vulnerable place that we live in. And like, especially in the form of narration, it's a very personal, almost private experience a lot of the time. So in like a big public setting where we've never met before, and you sort of accost me with like, oh my gosh, that moment where you were so into like your child having died and you nursed them back to life and like then you sprouted wings and you flew into the sky and whatever happens in the book, it's like maybe a little bit jarring to be put in that place. And so just having some awareness of the environment in which you're having that conversation versus like warming into the space and being like, hey, you know, I have to tell you, I did hear what you said about, you know, the experience of living abroad in your 20s, and it really resonated with me. I'd love to chat about that sometime. And then like, yeah, wait for that to open itself up naturally, I think, is been my experience.
See, Kurt, that dilemma has never occurred to me because I love compliments. So if somebody came up to me and was like, hey, I listened to something you did and it was really good, I would just be like, wonderful.
So never approach Lindsay unless you're gonna shower her with God.
It's the Midwesterner in me. It feels very awkward to not immediately be able to say back, and I love you, and I love your work. And it's,
yes.
I guess that's the secret. It's like, if you want to say something nice to somebody, just make sure that like it is in such a way that it doesn't invite recognition back.
I'm glad to know that, because I've done this to people too. When I met Robin Miles, I was like, hello, oh my God, you're my, like, I didn't physically assault her, but like I absolutely opened with like, oh my God, like you're so that you're this book and this book and this book. So, you know, I'm also guilty of like being on the complimenter end as well.
Yeah.
Two things that I keep in mind whenever I walk into in-person situations. One, I assume people's boundaries are double what mine are. Mm. And two, we all shit 30 minutes after our morning coffee. And so, and that is
title
my
of ep.
And that's my reminder that we're all fucking human. And that's my, okay, read the room, anticipate larger boundaries. Like Kurt said, I never lead with the work. And we all take our shits. So you are a human being. Like, let me learn about you as a human being if you are willing to offer that up in natural conversation. And if you are not, cool. I'm going to move on and go have a drink someplace else. Nice to meet you. But I think so much of these awkward interactions can be somewhat alleviated if we just take a breath and realize we're all human beings. We're not resources to you.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people walk into these rooms and they have their punch list or they're looking for resources and they've got a goal. And it's like, dude, it's just a room full of people.
Yeah.
And that's not everybody's cup of tea, but we're here. So let's fucking talk about each other and to each other. And maybe we have some industry talk. And if we don't, maybe you still walk out with a couple of new buddies. And that's cool.
Absolutely. I've had experiences on both sides of this where I remember in an audiobook setting meeting someone for the first time whose work I really enjoyed. I did lead with work, and that project to them, their reaction clearly immediately was, I'm so tired of hearing about that audiobook. That was their energy immediately. I was like, oh shit, I'm so sorry. And simultaneously, I've also had moments with folks where like, because I'm an avid listener myself, and I often see someone, you know, I'm like, oh my God, Gail, like this work, like did it change that? I'm curious as we're talking about this, because similar but different would be going to a con, like an anime con, and you're meeting a voice actor or a manga, you know, illustrator or something along those lines, and saying these kind of same things or leading with the work in that case. And I'm wondering if it's different for us because we are essentially like at conventions for colleagues or events for colleagues, as opposed to like, we are not, you know, because it would feel different for any of us, I think, if we were like, oh, you know, they're pairing us up with the author for like the book launch. And so here are the listeners coming up and saying these same things to us versus like, Kurt, in your context, like, here's a colleague coming up and being like, and I think with the colleague, we have that like, oh, now I want to identify with you. Like we are here together in that way. And so I want to be able to like talk about your work or share something back. And maybe Kurt, maybe the thought there is that like, you're a little bit of an anime star. You know what I mean though? That not every comment, even when someone is your colleague, that like the Midwestern requirement isn't always met. I think in this context too, like I just being at APAC and the number of people that came up to us to talk about, was I the only one there? Came up to me to talk about the podcast and how many people were excited about the podcast. So I got to like have a lot of cool little conversations about that. But it was unique in not being audiobooks because even for folks that I knew well, the frequency with which I could turn back and say, and I love listening to your podcast, just was not right present. And so sometimes I think that's the case, like, especially for folks you don't know, it's just like, you learn to take the compliment and maybe you go look them up after and then you hate it. You don't want to listen to anything they've done, but no.
And I guess it is that element too of like, where you leave the conversation hanging, that maybe is why I felt that need to like fill the space with like, oh, and what have you done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it would be like, I'm trying to think of like another professional context that I've been in where like if you went to a con and you walked up to somebody and was like, oh, I really loved you on this panel. Did you know I was also on a panel?
Yes.
And it's like, oh.
Yeah.
No. So it's that vibe that, like, and maybe it's just happened too many times to me personally, and it is my own baggage that I'm bringing, but it does feel sometimes like it's just left open. Like,
I've had people actually ask me, you know, like, oh, so you got that book that I auditioned for, like, how did you get it, blah 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 blah, which already feels uncomfortable. And then I'll be like, oh, but you get books that I auditioned for. And then say, oh really, which ones? And like, in that moment, yeah, and in that moment, and I understand where it's coming from and I get the curiosity, but like, it's also not the appropriate place to have that conversation, if that is even remotely an appropriate conversation. And so I think that, like, the social context clues that you're talking about in terms of, like, are you leaving this space open in a way that feels like it's sucking the air out of the room? Okay, can we read that and then fill it in with something else, you know? Because we all make social faux pas. We all, like Lindsay said, we're all human. And I hope that we all understand that about each other. And then to be able to stumble and continue on, I think, is the real art of these interactions that benefits us all to learn. I feel like the relationship in networking with colleague to colleague, we've talked about a lot. And I'm wondering if we can touch on a little bit, like, the author narrator relationship, like Kurt, I know, and Lindsay, yeah, you are both going to like mostly author centered con that's going to have quite a few narrators there, or the narrator producer relationship. Like, Dom, we've been at a retreat together. Andre, I know that you did, like, Joel Frumkin's cruise, like, mm-hmm, those kinds of experiences. Like, where do the are the lines different there? Are we reading different signals there? Are we having different types of conversations? And when do things move from, like, this is very professional to this is maybe a little bit more social to this is maybe a friendship?
You know, it's funny because, like Dom mentioned, I mean, for all the joking about, like, running up and being like, I love your work, I agree. I do ultimately agree with Kurt that it's like a conversation stopper. But so I agree with Dom that, like, you got to start human first. And so, in fact, I think it's not professional social friendship. I think it's social professional friendship. I think you have to start on the basic social level of, like, hey, we're both here at this event because we like the same, you know, like, because we both like books, or we both like the kind of books at this event. So we already have this, like, thing in common that we're into. And then, you know, and then you, the, so, like, that's already been established, right? It's not like, I don't need to ask, what do you do? I don't need to ask, like, do you like books? You know, we got that, you know, we're cool.
No, I hate them. Would that be a conversation ender as well?
I'd be fascinated. I'd be like, how did you get here? What's happening? Are you beamed in? So it's starting with, like, let's just talk as people who know we have at least something in common. You know, and I mean, and that can still revolve around, like, things like, oh, is this your first time at this event? Or what, how are you liking it? Or, oh, did you see this panel? What did you think of it? Like, you can still talk about, like, work stuff, but without being like, what do you do? What do I do? Yeah, because the conventions I've gone to where I've, like, chatted with indie authors and ultimately, like, connected with them to record their books, it started with, like, hey, we're both at this thing because we like the same stuff. Let's be friends and hang out and, like, chat. And then you can get into, like, oh, what, you know, what books do you have coming up and what's going on with this? And, like, have you thought about audiobooks and whatever? And moving into that part of the conversation, I think the important thing that I need to remember too, like, that I try to remember, is, like, we're looking at, like, a mutually beneficial relationship there, the, like, indie author to narrator thing. Because, like, if it's going to work out, it's because the author wants an audiobook, their readers want audiobooks, that, like, that would be a boon to them to have an audiobook of their work. And what do you know? We record audiobooks, like, and we can make this, you know, so, like,
yeah,
it's not, I am asking you for a job. I am asking, like, please, please give this to me. It's like, I have something to offer you and you have something to offer me. And if our abilities and like, like, if it all aligns, if I am the right voice for this project, then, like, win-win, you know?
Yeah. It is a very different dynamic when you go to the reader conventions, because you are literally there to be the attraction. Like it's just different than a professional peer-to-peer gig. So a lot of your time is spent with readers for whom it is not at all awkward to hear a compliment or feedback on your work, because that's the social contract we've entered into. Like I am here to be featured, and your reception to me is part of why I came. Because I also have one eye over here looking at the people who could potentially hire me in an indie space, and I'm happy to have them see me having those interactions with readers, and who are, by the way, delightful. And it can feel fantastic to have that kind of reception. But it does become the same then if you approach an author with like the sweaty feeling of like, oh, how can I get work from this person? Like, that's just always the wrong way to go about meeting somebody, is with an outcome in mind. And so it was awkward the first few reader conventions I went to where I was meeting authors, because I felt like that's what I should be doing. I should be selling myself to them. And as soon as I stopped doing that and just started talking, like, oh my God, I love that shirt. Even like, oh my God, that book cover is so beautiful. Like, you know, or like, hey, I heard you say this on a panel. I thought that was hilarious. Or like, you know, as long as it's not around, I would like to work for you. And you can also attach yourself to a buddy. We kind of started this conversation talking about finding a buddy. You can attach yourself to like some reader buddies who are happy to like walk around and be like, oh my God, this author does this really, really well. Or like, I've read this person's books and I thought forever that you would be a great voice for them. And it's like, okay, well, let's go talk to them, you know? Whenever you're totally alone, I feel like you're at a disadvantage. But at the very least, just don't approach every conversation with the idea that you need to sell yourself and you need to get a gig out of this interaction.
Agreed. I feel like the same goes for producer relationships. I mean, 2024, I went to my first retreat. This year is my first APAC. Even though, and at the retreat, it was a much more smaller and less of this happened, but I found myself uncomfortable watching the networking. And you could see it in people's eyes, in their body language, that there was a goal behind how they were interacting with people. And so I'm opting out of this. But then when we had our social time at our dinner, this poor producer, who I now do consider a friend, is talking to him, and I go, when's the last time you shit your pants?
There she is.
And he was like, what? And I'm like, it's one of my icebreaker questions. Don't lie, we've all sharted at least once. And I'm like, tell me you haven't had gastroenteritis in the last 10 years or food poisoning. And he was like, you'd get along with my wife.
Listener, beware. This may not be the right brand approach for you. Just have a good think about this.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I'm not saying ask everybody about their bowel movements, because that's not going to work for everyone. But I was getting the vibes that we were starting to just be weird. And so I went for it and it hit. I've done it before and it's missed. I will tell you that.
But that exact moment that you were describing of like seeing somebody else go for it is why I felt that for me, what's the last APAC I went to, guys? 2022? Was that where you guys were? Yeah, and the in-person one?
Three.
When was the last in-person one? 2023?
It was three.
Why I felt that for me was so unsuccessful. Because after a day of watching everybody maul these producers, I was like, I can't. I just cannot force them to sit through one more pitch. Mm-hmm. And that was partially just a numbers issue. There were just far too many people there.
Yes.
But... yeah, it's like you witness that happening and it's like, well, that certainly doesn't encourage me to like walk up and start talking to someone cold, you know? And then you start to see them physically like circling. And it's like, oh, I totally get why that's your instinct, is to like find your two or three colleagues and just like form a literal physical circle to talk to each other, because you're probably so overwhelmed with people coming up to you and wanting something from you, mm-hmm. wanting affirmation from you, wanting a gig from you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think of there are these two situations. I'm an overthinker. There's an Olympics and I'm a gold medalist. And these two situations that I think about a lot, one was with an author who I was at like an author of, book event that wasn't like audiobook specific. And I saw this person. I was like, oh, I've recorded a book for them. Like it had only been a couple months. And I'm like, oh, I just want to go say hi. And I was like, oh my God, like, you know, I just want to say hi because I was just, you know, recording in this book. And I hadn't really thought of it beyond that because sometimes I just want to make the little connection. And they go, oh my God, which character were you? Because it was a multicast. Friends and family. I did not remember what character I had narrated in this book. And suddenly I was like, I'm so sorry. And what the reality for us is that, like, you know, we might record 10 to 70 books a year, and authors maybe are writing one or two, sometimes five or six if they're really pumping it out. But it was a moment where, like, yes, the excitement of the connection was not like, I want to get future work from you. It was this, like, here's our human connection piece. And also, there was a little more prep I could have done just to really land that plane. And it's chill. And I think the relationship is still positive and all those things. But it's I think the thoughtfulness involves a little bit of preparation. The other experience is one that I'm like, I'm still not even fully sure that I made the choice that I feel the best about in this one. But I live very near several of the major production companies in New York City. On my block, there's a bar that I sometimes go to, and I literally just like pop in headphones, you know, get a martini, watch an anime. Just chill. I had come home from being like out in the world. I passed the bar on my way home. And I see two producers that I like know and work with in the bar. I'm like, cool. They're living their life. I keep walking. Hours later, I come back from another event. And so I stop by the bar. I sit down. I go in. And I look up and I realize they're still there. And I made a choice in that moment not to like engage them. And these are two people I enjoy tremendously. But also in that like social, professional, friendship timeline that we talked about, felt like we were firmly in the professional stage. And this clearly was their kind of thing. We were not at some big audiobook event. This wasn't like a social that someone had engineered. And it felt for me like my role here was not to disturb this space for them. That if they chose like, oh, we'll go over and say hi, you know, like we all like could easily recognize each other by face and name. We knew each other well enough for that. And so ultimately I didn't go over to them. And then also ultimately they didn't come over to me. Right. And also the next time we saw each other, it was still chill, gave each other hugs, said hello, moved on with life. But that was a moment that I was like reflecting on a lot in the moment. And then after with folks of like, did I make the right choice? And I think in the end, I ultimately did that. It felt like, here's the respect of this boundary. Like here's actually the practical daily line of where this relationship is. Right. And that's not to say that like, I wouldn't like, you know, grab a beer and head to the bar for a real rager with these producers. But the way in which the worlds collided, I was like, you know, what am I going to do? Go over there and talk about whatever? Like, y'all are clearly having your own moment, your own conversation. I'm going to leave you to it. But these are just two things that I think about with like these in-person moments of like, how do these lines balance around each other to both become like, here's a nice, effective interaction that everyone feels good about. Or here's a non-interaction that everyone feels good about, you know?
I love that. I just have like one more quick rapid fire question for each of you. What is something somebody has said to you in one of these social first, networking second situations that has felt really wonderful, easy, approachable, safe. Like, I'm thinking of, for instance, what was good this week was a really nice thing somebody asked me at a last gathering like this. Like, what happened to you that felt good this week? And it, like, brought up a bunch of stuff. The other one was like, what do you like to read when you're not narrating? Like, what, and maybe you don't have time at the moment, but like, what is your thing that you just love to read for you? Quick answers to that.
The problem is, like, the awkward stuff sticks out so much more prevalently than the pleasant conversations.
Yeah. Smooths in.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I have a more general answer, but I think it covers both of the things, both of the examples you gave, which is that curiosity is always the way to go, right? Like, when in doubt, get curious about something. And I think that applies to so much of life. I could go on, but like, just in this thing when you're talking to another person, like, what are you curious about that you can share with them? Like, what do you want to know about what's going on with them?
Yeah.
Because also this, and both the questions you asked spark curiosity in me. It makes me like go back and go, oh, what was good this week? Or what do I love to like? So yeah, I like the baseline for me is just get curious.
I will say, I think the warmest feeling I have is when a colleague, whether it be a producer or a narrator, says, hey, do you know, and then introduces you to somebody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It just invites you into the conversation or invites someone else into the conversation via introduction so that it feels like we are making connections and that you are someone worth being introduced to.
Yeah, big time.
I'm thinking about the scenario Kurt mentioned earlier of like someone's like, oh, I just listened to this. And yes, absolutely. I'm right there with Lindsay. I'm like, I'll giggle and kick over a nice compliment any day. But when that conversation immediately is like, sure, here's the compliment about your narration, but then we can shift into talking about the book. I think that gives us the ground to actually like be in dialogue about something. Because now we've read a book that hopefully we both enjoyed, or maybe we didn't enjoy, and that's the interesting conversation. But I think it gives the space to like take in the compliment and then give the out so that we can engage in something that we share. If, you know, it's the case that I haven't listened back to something of that person's.
Yeah.
Right.
You've just solved that, Andre. You just solved that scenario for me.
All right. Mine is actually one's physical and one's someone says. And I love a good hug. And so, but I know not everybody does. So when someone comes in for the hug and we can just hold each other, even if we've never met in person, I will cradle your body for as long as you let me. And that's like my favorite thing about APAC and the Audis was all the hugs. I got to have. And then the other thing is it's more general as well because it's, you know, people have said it more than once, but it's the Dom, I saw or heard or did this thing and it made me think of you. And what that signals to me is that my intent of us having that human first connection, when it has nothing to do with audiobooks, I have made some kind of an impression on them that they remember me as a person. And that's my goal with every person I interact with is who is this human I'm interacting with? And that shows me that those efforts are actually paying off when they say something like that.
I love that. Well, Dom, you're such a lovely human. Thank you for joining us at the round table today. Thank you everybody for showing up so fully to this conversation. And thanks to everyone who's listening and tuning in. We appreciate you being here too. If you want to join our conversation further, you can find us on social media or you can visit our website, narratorroundtable.com. To submit a question or a topic of discussion for a future episode, go ahead and find us there. What's on your mind? We want to talk about it.
The Narrator Roundtable is produced and hosted by Andre Santana, Deanna Anthony, Gail Shallon, Kurt Graves, and Lindsay Dorcas. All copyrighted material is shared with permission. Music and sound effects are licensed through Storyblocks Audio. All opinions shared are those of the individuals and do not reflect the positions or policies of any company or organization with which they happen to be associated.